verse along, volume 3, volume page 169. What is the war for authority in the work? B. Rashi explains about the words, when thou goest forth to battle against thine enemies. It speaks about the war for authority. We have to understand the matter of when thou goest forth to battle against thine enemies with in the war for authority. What is a war for a war? What is authority is, in Hebrew is also permission. So what is in the work a war of permission, and what is a work that is not permitted, that is not of choice? We know that there are 248 mitzvot that belong to the do, and 365 mitzvot of not do. Together they're called 613 mitzvot. And we must keep them in every detail. If not, it is called a felony, sin. About them, it is said, thou shalt not add, and thou shalt not subtract. And that obligation is about the act, meaning a person must do or not do what he's do what he must do or not do what he's not allowed to do. But it's not like that. It's not like that about the intent, meaning to aim to do in order to bestow. That war is permitted, meaning that we can't say that this war belongs to everyone, but only to those who have an inner urge that they feel that doing the mitzvot in the way they do, they don't feel in that a connection with attention to the Lord. And they see that where man should reach the love of God, they see that in everything they do, they mean nothing but for themselves. About them, we say that this work belongs to them. To them belongs the work of in order to bestow. Whereas to everyone, this is not given. Therefore, the work of bestowal is called a war for authority or permission. And it is not something that is obligated. And this is, as Rambam said, therefore when you teach the little and the women and ordinary people, you don't teach them what to work out of fear and in order to be rewarded until they gain knowledge and wisdom. And then they're told that secret little by little. Meaning that the matter of for her name, called in order to bestow, does not belong to everyone, but to people who have already gained knowledge. Therefore, it means that the work of bestowal belongs to those that have a great knowledge. Therefore, the work of bestowal is called the war for authority, or the permitted war, and not the obligated war, because it is not on everyone to fight it, but only to those that we can say about them until they have gained knowledge and wisdom, then they're told that secret little by little. And we must further add about the war for the permitted war. Since the matter of adhesion with the Lord is an authentication of one's own authority. Because a person is born by nature when he feels only his own authority, meaning that he is the owner, what he wants to do. That he does what he wants to do. And in order for him to know that there is an authority of the Creator who leads the world, that a person should believe that the Creator is the King of the world. And he should believe that this concealment, that a person doesn't feel that there is a King to the world, that was done by the Creator. And it is called a correction of restriction. But a person must believe and give great effort about that until he feels in his organs that the Lord is the leader of the world, and not just any leader, but a person should believe that his leadership is in benevolence. And a person should do everything he can until he is able to attain it, because it is expressed in two ways. A, a person should make an effort to have a desire to want to nullify his own authority. As the sages said, when a man dies in a tent, because the Torah does not live but in those who kill themselves over it, meaning that he wants to kill, nullify his own selfness, meaning that a person should come to a point where he is only one authority, which is the Creator's authority, meaning that a person does not do anything for himself, but he worries only about the Creator, the benefit of the Creator, and that is called a single authority, which is called the warfare authority, meaning he fights with himself to attain the single authority, and that is called the warfare authority in the work. B, after all the effort that a person makes in order to attain that authority, which is called that a person receives a second nature, meaning where before he had a will to receive for himself, he wanted to cancel that authority and receive a new one, which is the will to bestow upon the Creator. Here we have the matter of the attention, meaning just as the Creator bestows, so man wants to bestow upon the Creator, but a person cannot receive that authority, but only the Creator, as he gave him before the authority of the will to receive for himself, the Creator can give him another authority, meaning the single authority of the Creator, which is called that the Creator gave him a second nature, which is a desire to bestow upon the Creator. It turns out that when a person is born, he has only one authority, his own. Afterwards, when he takes upon himself the kingdom of heaven to observe Torah and Mitzvot, then he comes to two authorities, meaning that he works in order to be rewarded, as Rambam said, that you teach the little ones and the women and ordinary people in order to be rewarded. And then begins the work for authority, meaning cancel his own authority, called his own self-benefit. And to want the Creator to give him a single authority, meaning the authority of the Creator, which is called that a person should attain a second nature, called the will to bestow, to have a desire to bring contentment to his Maker. As it is said, one now goes to war against thine enemies, meaning the war for authority, and you cannot conquer the enemy called the will to receive for himself, meaning cancel that authority. But the writing promises us, and the Lord thy God delivereth into thy hands, meaning that God will give you that strength, power, meaning that authority, called the single authority, meaning the Creator will give you a second nature. And in order for man to be ready to ask for that authority, you need a prayer from the bottom of the heart, meaning that a person will feel how much he wants that strength, called will to bestow. And therefore we'll be given the 613 mitzvot as advice, that by them a person will take a desire to feel how much he needs that desire to bestow, meaning that this is all that detains from attaining the perfection of the goal, the completion of the goal. And furthermore, meaning when a person doesn't feel the real need, a person should pray for that too, that God will give him the need for what he doesn't have, that will to bestow. And in fact, when a person has faith in God and he believes that he is a great king, a person must nullify himself as a candle before the torch, and then there's no choice, because he nullifies himself by nature. But when a person begins to work in order to bestow, he gets alien thoughts and his faith weakens by that. It turns out that the fact that a person cannot work in order to bestow is because of a lack of faith. And this is, as it is said, my tears have been my food day and night, while they say unto me all the day, where is thy God? Meaning that he gets thoughts of Pharaoh, who said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? It turns out that a person should pray for two things at once. A, for faith, that God will not hide himself from him. As it is said, hide not thy face from me. And B, that he'll bring him closer, meaning he'll give him the strength of the will to bestow, that by that will, the person gets close to God, called the equivalence of form. And the reason why when a person wants to work in order to bestow, he gets alien thoughts, it is because when a person works for himself, the body doesn't object it so much. Since man promises the body that he'll be greatly rewarded, that it's good to observe the garments, but it's worth it, it's worthwhile. Meaning that the reward sweetens the labor, as in corporate work. Therefore, the body doesn't ask questions about his work. The person lives in peace and he's content with his work because he believes that his reward grows every day. That's why he lives a quiet life and he feels peaceful in his life. And if there's another place where he can observe the mitzvah, where he can observe another mitzvah, he's certainly more satisfied. Whereas when a person says to his body, up till now, I worked for you, meaning that everything I did, both corporal and Torah mitzvah, everything was with the intent that you will be happy, meaning that all my concerns were only for the will to receive for himself, which is called self-love or self-benefit. But now, meaning from now on, I don't want to work anymore for the body, but for God. Then the body begins to resist. Why? Why does he throw him? And he does everything he can. He brings in questions from all the world, meaning the claims of Pharaoh, who asked, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? And the argument of the evil, who asked, what mean you by this service? These thoughts make man's work very heavy, so much so that many times, by the ups and downs that man gets, and he sees that there is no end to them, he wants to escape the campaign. And everything a person can answer the body is that he wants to work in true fear, called in Israel, because he is a Lord Master and Master, meaning that he'll feel it as a great a privilege to serve a great king, and that he wants to bring contentment to his maker, and that he'll will be what he'll be concerned about, and he doesn't want to care for himself anymore. Now we can understand what it says. This day the Lord thy God commandeth thee to do these statutes and ordinances. Thou shalt observe and do them with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And Rashi explains that day, meaning that every day they'll be like new to you, as though you were commanded to do them that very day. And we have to understand what that gives us. Meaning, what do we gain by having to try that it'll be every day as though we were given that commandment that day? The thing is that we have two aspects in the work. A, to be rewarded, and B, not to be rewarded, but because of the greatness of God. Those whose work is in order to be rewarded, they don't need to have it like new every day. But when a person believes that he'll be rewarded for his work, he has strength for the work, because that pay is what makes him observe Torah and mitzvot. So there's no difference whether he believes, if he believes in the pay that he was promised, and he doesn't have a need to renew that commandment every day, because what will it give him? Whereas those people who want to work because he is Lord and Master, which is because of the greatness of God, for that reason, there is a need, as though you were given that commandment that day. That is because a person, when he works in Torah and Mitzvot in order to bestow, then every day he must differentiate how much he assumes the greatness of God, for whom it is worthwhile to make an effort to serve him. As it says in the Zohar, her husband is known in the gates, that each and every one, according to what he assumes in his heart, meaning in the work of his soul, there are ups and downs. It turns out that no day is like another, because sometimes he assumes he is a great king and sometimes the opposite. It turns out that every day should be like new, meaning as though you were given that commandment that day. Meaning the efforts for the labor are according to what king he serves at that time, a great or small. Meaning if yesterday he had an idea, a thought that he was a great king, and today he doesn't have that thought, so he cannot give the effort that he gave yesterday, but according to what he assumes that day. Therefore the writing tells us that day that your Lord commands you, meaning that a person should know that each and every day he has a different amount of his work, of his faith. Therefore a person should not be impressed when sometimes during the descent that there is a small king, meaning man's faith is in smallness, and that faith cannot sustain him to be able to overcome his body, but he surrenders under his body and he thinks of escaping the campaign. But a person should believe that the descent that he received and the lack of strength to overcome, that he'll believe in God and that he will help him out and take him out of this lowness where a person is, and then he'll attain greater faith in God, and then certainly he'll have more strength to work, because every day is a new thing, meaning a new faith. And this is, as he said, as though you were commanded to it that very day, meaning that everything is according to the faith that he has that day. To that extent, the person works. And we must know that when a person begins to work in order to bestow, and the body objects to it, then the body lowers him to the worst possible lowness, meaning the will to receive overcomes him and brings him down to the lowest desires. And sometimes he gets thoughts and desires that he never thought of, and they come to him like unwelcome guests. And a person wonders and said, why today of all days? Meaning who gave him these thoughts and desires? Is by thinking that we have to work only for the Lord, those thoughts threw me into such lowness. And he asks, we know that mitzvah brings to mitzvah. So why is it that the desire to attain this as a bestowal makes man receive and reward for that such thoughts? And what can man do in these situations? But a person should know, as Bala Sulam says, that the Creator sends him these thoughts in order for man to not be able to tolerate this lowness. And that will make him pray from the bottom of the heart to give him where these thoughts which cause separation and detachment from God, that God will give him the strength to bring himself closer, to draw nearer. That then a person must pray and cry to God, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not the Holy Spirit from me, but that God will give him that second nature, which is the will to bestow, meaning that he'll have only the ability, the will to bestow contentment upon his Maker and not worry for himself. Then he'll be relieved from these thoughts and desires that the desire now gives him, the will now gives him, brings him. Meaning since all these thoughts and that the will to receive brings him, persons should believe that they are sent from heaven. And this is because he wants to take the path of bestowal. But in the meantime, he's lazy, he's idle in his work. Therefore, since a man prays for God to draw him near, to cleave to him, which is a matter of equivalence of form. Therefore, when you see that a person is idle in that work, he has sent these thoughts, that a person cannot agree to be under such authority, and that pushes man that he must overcome the situation he is in. It turns out that from this evil that a person feels that he's so low, that he never thought it was that low. He never thought that there was such a reality that he'll be under such control. Therefore, he should not be impressed and escape the company, but on the contrary, he should believe that the Creator now takes care of him and brings him closer with the state of posterior. And this is, as he said, as Baruch Sulam wrote about the verse, "My beloved is like a gazelle." What is a gazelle? When he escapes, he turns his face backwards. So the Lord, when he goes away from Israel, he returns his face. He turns backwards with his face, which then the face goes back to the backwards, meaning that he wants and longs to be again, to cleave again to Israel. And from that, in Israel, there is also yearning and longing to cleave to the Lord, that the extent of a yearning is indeed the face itself. And we must interpret about that he means that when a person is in a state of lowness, which is called that the Creator has driven away from him and has no desire for the work, which is called that the Creator gives man shape over spirituality, that is tasteless. But on the contrary, man wants to escape and forget about the work, that is called that the Creator shows him the posterior, since the face of the Creator is his desire to bestow upon his creatures, whereas the posterior is actually the opposite. And why does the Creator show man the posterior? It is on purpose, so that by that man will be pushed for attention with God, because he cannot remain in a state of lowness. It turns out that inside the posterior there is an anterior. God's words. So what is the permission here? We say that authority is control. To begin with, man is under the authority, the control of the will to receive. That's how the Creator controls him. Later on, the will to bestow is also the Creator's authority in a different way. So man must find his own authority, not here and not here, but in deciding under which authority he wants to be. Meaning man's authority is a decision under which authority he wants to be. And that is the war. The war against one authority, the authority of the will to receive, to want to be under the authority of the will to bestow. A person is in the middle. What is in the middle? In order to decide that he wants to be under the authority of the will to bestow and not the will to receive, he must place himself in the middle. To come to the middle is when no authority influences him, but he chooses freely the authority of the will to bestow. It is called to come to the level of the no-gasho, when you have two equal authorities, completely balanced. Then at that point, man's effort to come to want to do in order to bestow, then he asks of God, and God brings him to the authority of the will to bestow. That is man's work. How is that authority done? We are under the authority of the will to receive right now. Let's say that I want rest. I have nothing to eat, so I decide that I must go to work. A greater desire than food controls a smaller desire for rest. I don't have a choice. And so on. Afterwards, the desire to have a house, family. Then, again, I take upon myself some more efforts, go into further restlessness. So, always, the greater desire cancels the smaller desire and forces man to do it, to follow it. The problem is the extent of the desire. The greater desire is always a determining desire. If I come to a point where the Creator is great in my eyes, that the desire for Him will be the greatest, greater than all my desires, then I want Him. That's called that I constantly will want to sense the greatness of the Creator and want only Him, so that all the time, so that I'll be with Him all the time. So if I take society here, rumors about the greatness of the Creator, that everything is determined by the Creator, that He is my leader, then I'll come to a situation where I'll do everything for Him if He's so great. The desire to be next to Him in His own authority, that will determine everything for me. Then I'll not even mind dying, maybe, in order to only be in His authority. A person can do that for his country, for his people, his family. Greater desire turns out smaller desires. Of course, it's not for a name at that point. It's egoistic. He increased the desire for the Creator compared to other desires. He's come to a point where he's willing to give his life for it. We see many people that for great things give their lives, not only rest. So, if I increase through the group and the books the greatness of the Creator so much so until I'm willing to think about Him and study Him and cleave to Him, I cling to Him with my egoistic desire. This is not for a name, but this is a correct not for a name. This is really not for her name. And that is still not for her name. There are many types of not for her name. That in those types of not for her name, you can come to not for her name from which you go to for her name. And that is done if a person is liked by the Creator, then, as he says, that in one jump across the wall, he makes a jump and goes into heaven. So the authority begins by us in our own egoism, in our own will to receive. in her own authority, began to enter the Creator as a part of that authority, that He will be great, that He will control the authority of the will to receive. The greatness you receive from society, that is what you work for. When you're born, you have nothing but the desires that your body demands naturally. What do you need? You need food, because the biological body needs food. When you grow, there are hormones that you have to satisfy yourself with the sex. And just like any type of animal, you need some, surrounding, like a house, or maybe a pack, family, you know. Those are natural things your body demands, even if you're a single person in a forest, you know, secluded place. Society doesn't give you these things. You have them by nature. Society gives you things that have to do with human desires, social desires. There are desires for money, by money, because that way you determine your own authority in society. Honor is also power, control, and knowledge. Those things, the recognition of the greatness of those things, you get from the society you're in. There is a possibility to take from society also the matter of the greatness of the Creator. So the greatness of the Creator, when you receive from society, it's good to be near Him. You should fear Him, appreciate Him, want Him. He influences us. He changes everything. He can change your destiny for the better. All these things, if society gives that to you, gives them to you, then you'll get a recognition, appreciation of the Creator. Say you're in a society that keeps bringing you the recognition of the greatness of the Creator. You make a great effort in the study. You come to a point when these thoughts are constantly in your mind, and it determines everything in your life. How you appreciate things. When you appreciate them according to that recognition that the Creator is great, and the rest comes afterwards, and then you're able to receive, just as He receives a great appreciation toward money or honor or knowledge. Now He gets the appreciation of the greatness of the Creator, and then you come to a great not for her name, and you constantly think of the Creator. It's good for me to be connected with Him. It's good for me to give my soul to Him. Why? Because He's great. We can come to that by ourselves, out of our own choice, through working in society, by organizing a group for ourselves that will give it to us in a way that we're constantly willing to think about that, and are willing to actually give the heart and soul. You see these terrorists from Chechnya, they didn't care about anything, not their lives, nothing. They had the greatness of their Creator, and so they didn't care about their own lives. It's not a problem for anyone. People off the street are tamed with propaganda, are instructed, brainwashed, and they're willing to do anything. We have to do the same. We need such a society that will constantly tell us these things. And then we'll be willing to give our souls for the Creator. What is for the Creator? For the purpose, for the country, for the motherland, well, whatever. What's the difference? The difference is that here there will be a little different work, not greatly different, but you'll get disturbances. That you'll have to be more precise with your insights. You'll have to work against your will to receive. You'll constantly get disturbances in your will to receive that you'll be sidetracked. Too many things. But all in all, it's the same work and the same mind frame. And that brings you to a great not for her name. The matter of disturbances is that when you overcome them, you begin to recognize them. They bring you to such an effort that you awaken the Creator to cross you over the wall, to come to for her name. That in your not for her name, there will be a spark of for her name, the beginning, that point. Where will it be? Where will it be there from? Those terrorists don't have disturbances because their society agrees with them, and they don't get disturbances because their families, their friends, everyone supports them. But for us, we constantly get disturbances, both general in society and both private for each person. So we have to build a system that will work like those terrorists work. You can learn from them. He ties that explosives around himself, and he doesn't care. On the contrary, if you tell him, "Yeah, I'll forget about it. No, you don't have to do that." And you tell him, "You know, you're dismissed." He'll be upset. Because what is his life? His life is just a pay that he for something greater. Don't they want me to get that greater thing? He's upset. In introduction to Zulmudas's field, he explains to us, Bala Sulam, that there is not for her name, that from that not for her name, one comes to for her name. What is for her name? We don't know. We say that it's in order to bestow. That a person does it not out of his own motivation, but there is some force, upper force, that organizes, arranges it for him. And suddenly, you can do something without any calculation for yourself. Miracle from above. How do you jump from not for her name to for her name? He says that we still come to such a type of not for her name that has a little bit of for her name. Meaning, out of these disturbances, we've not yet begun with these disturbances. What types of disturbances are here? The Creator. If we progress precisely toward that not for her name, we'll feel those disturbances within that not for her name, and those disturbances will build for us that beginning of the future for her name out of these disturbances. So if you begin to work with a group now, that the group will give you the greatness of the Creator, and the greatness of the Creator And by the disturbances, you'll begin to see that you want the greatness of the Creator for yourself. But now you'll ask, well, for myself, I don't need it. So what do I need it for? Out of that, and those many other questions, in that, not for her name, there'll be some understanding of what for her name might be. And when you accumulate these two opinions in man, that great, not for her name, and that tiny bit of for her name, then he's willing, he's ready for crossing the barrier. Then he cries. He thinks it is worthwhile to cross over. These are things that we can't talk about, that our words will not give us any insight. So if you're asking how can you want for her name instead of not for her name, it's impossible. But some sort of a spark, some spark of it, there still exists there. From the breaking of the vessels, when the spark fell in the broken vessel, he gets this kind of little bit of dirt. I really, really wanted to be a great scientist, wanted to win a Nobel Prize for something, for some great revelation. Why not? Why not? For me, there was a great purpose for which I was willing to work. I was willing to get up early and come to the university and study 10 or 20 years. It doesn't matter, as long as I get somewhere. The greatness of the goal determined whether I'll do it or not. Now, am I studying to be small? If I want to be, would I be willing to get up that early in the morning for that? Whoever taught you that? Why do I need the greatness of the Creator for? To have the strength to get up? Because if it's great in my eyes, then it's good for me to work, to be tied with the great. Tied meaning that I'll get something out of it. Yes, okay, to be in his place, but that is your goal. And not to be, you know, small against him. To be great, because he who cleaves to the great is great himself. I don't understand it. Maybe you're deluding yourself. But I get up in the morning because I want to get something. The purpose is to attain the greatest possible thing of all the worlds. You go all the way for the maximum. That's it. To come to that maximum, you can only do it if you have the fuel for it. How do you come to a state where you know that he's great? Right now, in the darkness, that you'll have the fuel to come to him. You have to be constantly told about it. You need society. Just like those terrorists. It doesn't matter, take better examples, but it's the same desire. Nicer or worse desire. You have to hear that the purpose is great, goal is great. That for that, compared to that, nothing is worthwhile. My life is nothing unless I'm connected to him. A person feels that his life isn't everything. See, people are willing to die. No problem. But for that, you have to be brainwashed. So you have to society or build a society that will brainwash me. how will I get brainwashed by the society? If I appreciate the society is greater than myself, I get disturbances. It's not worthwhile. I'm tired, you know. So against that, I have to increase my group so that although I get these disturbances, it'll be several times greater than that. I purposely go and search for a society that will brainwash me deliberately for something that I make a preliminary choice about. So society serves me. But in order for society to do that, I have to work towards it. I have to make an effort in society so that I'll appreciate its opinion. I have to make it great in my eyes so that what they say is important to me. I have to diminish myself. The more I diminish myself, that gap between its greatness and my smallness will give me a greater impression. What do all these things come from? Because I want to come to a goal which is concealed from me. If the Creator had been revealed, we wouldn't need society and friends and everything. I wouldn't need them for. What would I need them for? I would go straight to Him and that's it. Everyone would do it. So, my clarifications are about society. What do I need these alien forces for? I don't care about them. That by checking my attitude to society, I examine my attitude to the Creator opposite all the disturbances that He sends me. Society is a means here. Seemingly. We'll see that afterwards, everything is one. You're looking at me as though I'm trying to trick you. How can you work out of love? If you see the Creator as great, that He can give you good things, then you work Him out of love, out of self-love. But it is out of love. How does a person sustain himself in a state where he feels himself worse than others? That is a technique. There are several things here that if you can do them, then you get it. The best and most simple way is to go back to Providence, who gives you all the thoughts and desires and everything in you, and why, for what reason. The Creator constantly throws me out so that I'll in order to strengthen me. These are disturbances within my will to receive. He doesn't throw you. The upper light influences you all the time. You constantly discover deeper and deeper desires. And when there is some desire greater than the will to receive, that you gave greater than the effort that you gave before, then you feel that new desire is in authority and not the importance of the Creator. The importance of the Creator is egoistical. It's in your ego. So these disturbances are not disturbances. They descend into your own will to receive. When you expose another layer, it is not that you are sent a disturbance. He doesn't send anything. He wants to show Himself in the deepest parts of your will to receive. The light works on the will to receive in such a way that it goes deeper and deeper in. And when it influences layer by layer into the will to receive, you feel disturbances, idleness, weakness, because you discover more and more new desires, new layers, layers of egoistic desires. And against that, you constantly have to bring up the importance of the Creator in each and every layer that you discover. Now that I himself, that light itself work, is at rest, it doesn't change. But the will to receive absorbs it kind of more and more. And out of that, it's like when you develop a picture. When you develop a photograph, you get more and more of all the things that are in that photograph. So they come as disturbances, yes. Certainly, when we speak of our actions, we have to say that we must do whatever we can. You can't afford to not do something. You have to do something. And if after that, as it says, that in the morning you have to say, if I'm not for me, then who is for me? And if in the evening it didn't work out, and after all my efforts, I saw myself in many bad ways, that after these strains, that you have to say that this is what you had to go through, so that you'll feel that you had to go through it. But it's not like you're now going, you're going to try and feel yourself in bad ways, ways that are distanced from holiness. The disturbances are disturbances that a person gets on the way to spirituality. They're disturbances that are both human and beastly animal disturbances. There are no further disturbances. That's afterwards, when you cross a barrier, there's shells. When you cross a barrier and you begin to work there, then you get, then you discover desires towards spirituality. And they're called shells. But in this world, just as our will to receive into is divided into beastly desires and human desires, social desires, so are our disturbances. You begin to want to eat more, sleep more, have more sex, honor, power, money, knowledge, maybe anything is possible. Usually they're primitive desires, control or sex. Those two mainly. They're the two most prominent ones. I'll rule, that's control, versus the Creator, that's the human in me. When it begins to grow, and the beast in me. And as much as a person lifts, the higher he rises, those two things do not let go, because they're the most natural. I'll be in control and sex. You're asking, why is it that when these desires grow in man, they're called disturbances? Is that what you're asking? It's not a disturbance. What's the connection between wanting, sex and food and rest and the Creator? Okay, so you want that. It's a beast. Okay, that's the way it is. Truth of the matter is that there's no connection here. You might say that there's a connection maybe in desires for control, maybe. Who is in control? You know, me or the Creator? Society or myself? Low desires is when a person feels himself, when he discovers in him these tendencies, he feels them as low, opposite the purpose. It doesn't mean that he can overcome them. It's not like he can work with them. They're in him, and he describes them as low. So you have two ends. On the one hand, you want power and sex and food. And on the other hand, you want the Creator, and you want to give yourself completely to him. These two ends constantly grow. That's what he says. When a person begins to work in order to bestow, then the body resists and brings into the lowest possible place. Low is how we think of it as low. Do you know what low is? I told you, low is when you think of these things as you determine them as low, not someone tells you that you're low. You yourself say about these things, about these desires, that they're low. If you don't determine them as low, then they're not low. What does it mean that you're making progress when you begin to work in order to bestow? If you begin to work in order to bestow, you begin to see the things that you had before, that were in you before, not that suddenly just pop up. But now you see them clearly, and you determine them as low. There is towards society a situation when a person influences society, influenced by society, or detached from society. There are only these three situations. He can be detached from society, or influencing, or influenced by. By choice or not by choice? That's it. Those are the situations that a person experiences with society. We have to make those situations controlled with under my consciousness. We're not talking about something that happens, you know, just out of the blue. We're talking about a person who takes himself in his hands, criticizes himself, sees that he's either influencing society, influenced by society, or detached from it. Connected is either when he influences or influenced by, or that he's disconnected from it. If he takes himself in his hands and wants to see who is related to them or opposite them, so with what mind does he now begin to examine himself? How does he take it? How does he check it? So you must first criticize his beginning points. When we say to this person, what are you influenced by? What are you connected with? There is work here even before you begin to examine if you're detached or connected. And if you're connected, are you influenced or influencing? Before that, you have to see what vessels of examinations do you have to begin with. And then you begin to see opposite the purpose, as much as you know what the purpose is, and you begin to examine yourself. Your starting point should be that you're chicken, how you relate to society, connected or detached, influenced or influencing, that should be based on the articles of Baruch. You have to start from scratch. You don't know anything about society, and you have to check out society and insert the data into your system, into your computer. It's as though you're building a computer. There's nothing in it, only spaces. You begin to fill them up with data that you want to work by. If you work by that software, then it is built in such a way that it'll bring you to the purpose. So the most important is the software. Within that software, you see these things and maybe don't see other things. Weigh these things against other things. Once you've installed the software, and you've entered the right data, then you have to see whether or not you're capable of working in that software. Does that software fit me? We're not an empty vessel. We have many old software that you can't just delete. So in order for that new software to work and for others to be deleted, you have to make a difference in the importance that specific new software will be the only one that's important. The rest will be non-existent, as though non-existent. Of course, you can actually erase them, but, seemingly non-existent. There's a lot of work here to make this the only one above, the only software on top. We're willing to do anything except turning to one another to give and to receive from society what we need. The claim of evil and the claim of Pharaoh, that the evil claims against the work and the Pharaoh claims against the Creator. Pharaoh is the posterior of the Creator. Our will to receive, or our entire corrupted will to receive, is Pharaoh. When you begin to work with it, you get two types of pleasures. You can get pleasure by giving to the Creator, and it'll be in order to receive. And you can get pleasure at receiving from the Creator, and it'll be in order to bestow. So the difference is in what style of work you're in. So Pharaoh is also evil, but for him, the direction is there's a difference in direction. I've been controlled, not the Creator. When a person is lazy in the work, it is a result of not having the right values. There is no laziness. The minute there's a fire in your house, you'll do anything to get out of the house. You'll jump off the third floor. Our problem is that we don't organize the importance. The result of that is idleness. He writes about it in our articles. You can tell yourself that you're losing, The work is not when a person is idle. The work is before. everything comes from the importance. The whole war is for importance. The whole fight. What's more important? That's what the fight is for. Why does he get alien thoughts when he's idle, when he's lazy? Because if he's lazy, then the creator is less important than the pleasure from rest. It doesn't wake me up. I can remain in that situation all the time. In order to wake me up from that situation, either I'm awakened from above, and then again, I'll be awakened because the creator is great, or that I'll get disturbance that I'll feel that I'm in a low place. Like a person feels that he has nothing to eat, so he goes to work. Not because he enjoys work. Because he doesn't have a choice. But you start moving. Whereas when you're in a rest that you can't move, you're dead. Passage from work mode to lazy mode is when a person begins to discover new desires that he did not make the recognition of the Creator greater than those desires. It is always one against the other. If we're a will to receive, then we always examine which is more worthwhile, which feels me better. How do psychologists use it? What do they tell a child or a person? This is more important than that. That's more important than this. Everything. You want to buy something. Money is less important than a piece of bread. Bread is less important than a piece of meat. So I can't eat that because the doctor told me. So the importance is lowered. You're not allowed to eat sugar. You look at it as something that devalues it. There is no other scale here. It's all according to the degree of importance. We keep sniffing like dogs. Trying to see what's more important. Like a child running from one toe to the next. Which is more important? That's how we are. What other estimate do we have? So now you have to take yourself in your hands and begin to see that the software that you're sniffing with will be the right software, the genuine software. And also how you're going to use it. It should be always under control. If you did something right with your values, and you determine that the Creator is great. You don't need more than that. We don't have any other clarification but to determine at every point along the way that He is greater, that He is the only one. There's none else beside Him. You've made that clarification, that's it. If you've done that, then immediately you should be giving something else. Because I still have a lot to do before the end of correction. So that'll come as a disturbance. That's why it says that when a person begins to work in order to bestow and the body resists it, then the body brings him down to the lowest possible point. As a result of the past success. We don't know why each person gets his type of disturbances. We can't say. It's the way it is. In each person there is a mixture of broken attributes, a different type of salad, maybe more tomatoes or more cucumbers. That's the way it is. Each disturbance in each and every one of us is never the same as for another person. The mixture of the various vessels is different in each person. If you change the smallest detail in a person, the whole mixture is different. Even when things constantly change, they seem to us like they don't change. we think we fail, we make the same mistakes again, over and over, in a different way. There are two types of disturbances, really, the human and beastly, control and sex. These are usually the two types of disturbances that you get. Those disturbances dress in the body, and we feel them through the body, but the disturbances themselves are certainly spiritual. But spirituality dresses in the body. We, as beasts, we are as humans. As beasts, we are comprised of 3 degrees, still vegetative, animate. Those 3 degrees in a beast, the greatest desires of that, of those degrees, is the desire for sex, for the continuation of the species. The truth is that inside it, inside of it, there's a desire for spiritual unification, but it's dressed in a corporal way. So when it's dressed like that in a corporal way, it is felt as sexual desire. In the more spiritual desire, in the human desire, it is expressed as control, in order to receive. In order to bestow is the nullification of control, which brings to the unification with the Creator. And when it is actually done spiritually, it is actually coupling by striking. Coupling of striking. Spiritual coupling. We don't treat the ego or the sex directly. Or not even directly treat the spiritual coupling. We want to come to a situation of spiritual coupling. And then all other things against that, it's not that they drop, but they join it. You never work against something to break it. The light comes and corrects it. Corrects the vessels. That's it. When you're in the physical body, then you get spiritual disturbances through the spiritual, the physical levels that right now you're in. When will I not be in them? When I'll be above them. When I am above them. Higher than them. In other words, when I'm in control of them. And not that it's not that I'll not want them. A capitalist who advances spiritually, it's not like he loses beastly desires, but they go under the control of the spiritual desire he's in. We can control the bodies, influence them, by means of this world. You don't influence his spirituality, but it'll hurt his progress in spirituality because he'll not get disturbances. A person should not do something with his body just like that. He can't just fast just like that. He must marry and have children and function with women. With his woman, it's a result of the spiritual levels. You can't detach it. You can't control your desires. So you can't influence the soul that way. But you can influence the body. That's why toward the body, you have commandments what to do with it. And that's all you need a body for the disturbances. Is that it? We need the body as a result of the fourth phases of the first light. Four phases of the first light. That in the whole stature of the although still vegetative animate speaking, that in all that stature to the lowest possible degree there'll be unification. So a person must be included of this world in the lowest possible degree and this spiritual degree in the highest possible degree, and everything should be in him, uniform in him. We can't see in this world the eternal shape that exists in the spiritual world. For example, spiritual coupling is eternal in spirituality, but in this world it's impossible because time, motion and place that get in the way detach those three factors, separate them into three separate factors. But in fact, it lives, it is there constantly. Control, for example. When does a person get to complete control? When he resembles the Creator. The more you go forward, the more you resist the Creator. So you want to be in control eventually. Until you come to complete adhesion with him, then you're in control. So you come to you eventually apply your whole ego in the whole stature of the degree. I will control, I will do everything is I. It's a wonder, but that's how it works. And that's in the whole stature, you know. To the level of the stone. As it says the vegetative and the animate rise and fall with man. Even those degrees in this world. I've already said that our work, I've spoken about the order of the values. What is the greater? The greater desire is what determines. What do we regard as a person? We regard him as a person who is not immersed in beastly desires, but in human desires, you know, control, power, money. We see, oh, look at this man, what he attains, what he gets, what he discovers. The more he is using, the higher type of will to receive he uses, we appreciate him more because he's more developed. But in him, in that person, the greater desires suppress the smaller desires. The ideal is in control. We need to have an even greater ideal than that to be in control. So in order for that to be in control, we get disturbances that are opposite to it in the lowest possible degree. That's why it grows. That's why they grow together. The human and beastly desires opposite the spiritual desires. For professor at the university, they don't grow because it's the same world, it's the same degree. It's not against spirituality. That's why for him, one rejects the other. For us, there's no rejection here. You want both. You want both sex and and spiritual unification. You want both to be in control of yourself and the control of to be under the control of the Creator. From the first time you were awakened, from that point, from that level, you develop into the will to receive, meaning downward, and from that point upward to the recognition of the Creator in those two ends. And when you develop that, that point will ultimately become the Nogosho, the middle part of Tiferet, middle third of Tiferet.